Happy Earth Day 2024. We've got a special series of podcasts this week for you here. The ASCE Environmental and Water Resources Institute's Environmental Health and Water Quality Committee has been doing special episodes here on ASCE Plot Points for a few years now. And this time they've got an entire sustainability series talking with different engineers working in the sustainability space, talking about sustainability things. Our first guest is actually a returning champion to ASCE Plot Points. Emily Gruber is an associate professor of sustainable energy policy in the Keough School of Global Affairs at the University of Notre Dame. Previously, Gruber worked at Georgia Tech and in the private sector at McKinsey and for the U.S. Department of Energy. Gruber got involved in ASCE as an undergrad student and has held several leadership positions in the EWRI Sustainability Committee. Our guest hosts today are Breanne Duncan and Wendy Cohen. Here they are with Emily Gruber.
Welcome, Emily. Would you please tell us a little bit about the work you did in your postdoc at UC Berkeley, and then transitioning that work when you got to your first teaching job as an assistant professor of civil engineering at Georgia Tech?
Yeah, absolutely. So while I was a postdoc, I was working on a project funded by the Environmental Protection Agency on stormwater costing, and we were really trying to look at the various costs of different kinds of gray and green stormwater infrastructure. Kind of ended up in a place where we realized that that's not necessarily a super clear breakdown. There's a continuum of gray and green stormwater infrastructure, but a lot of that was life cycle costing and life cycle assessment work that was really interesting. One of the things that I still am very, very grateful to my mentor for, though, is that when I left Berkeley and went to Georgia Tech, he actually let me take the rest of the grant with me. And so I was able to continue working on that project as an assistant professor, which gave me a lot of runway for my first real job, so to speak. But yeah, I managed to work with a master's student there, and we put together a pretty cool tool, I think.
I think that's absolutely incredible. Being able to have that continuity for the project between institutions is quite a rare opportunity. So well done on doing that, executing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you were an assistant professor at Georgia Tech from 2019 to 2022, right in the full swing of the pandemic. And what were some of the biggest challenges and interesting opportunities that you experienced?
I think the one that most people who were teaching during that period will probably agree with is that teaching was a really challenging thing to do during the pandemic, especially because of the kind of emergency stance that we took in the spring semester in 2020, basically moving classes that had been designed to be in person to online in the middle of everything when no one really knew what was going on or how long it was going to last, I think was hard on everybody. I felt like I was kind of lucky because I had taught quite a bit before I started my professor job, and so I had some experience doing it. But just the kinds of strategies that you can use to make sure that people are engaged, that students are doing okay, like that kind of stuff is really different when you can't see anybody. And I hope I'm not bringing flashbacks to anyone for all the period of talking to a bunch of blank screens on Zoom. I know I also actually was teaching with my video off quite a bit because my internet connection wasn't that strong at home. So there was a whole lot going on. One thing that I did really appreciate about some of the opportunities that I don't usually have in the classroom, but I've actually brought into some of the in-person teaching that I do, is just really thinking about how to use screens and kind of interactive screen activities in class. So one of the things that I did in my class was actually just put up Google Maps and take people through some infrastructure-based systems and kind of think about what those spatial relationships look like. That hasn't been something that I had thought about doing in an in-person class, but it was really, really easy to do with a share screen and is actually not that bad to do in person either. But we basically traced a bunch of transmission lines to make a point about where electricity goes and where some of the fuels come from and stuff like that that I thought was pretty interesting.
I think that's such a cool use of some of our newer technological tools that don't often get incorporated. And the blank screens on a Zoom is just a really energetically challenging activity. You're putting in a lot of effort, yeah, but you're really not getting much out.
Yeah, no one laughs, even when your jokes are good.
That is rough.
So in 2021, you were contacted by the U.S. Department of Energy to support efforts related to carbon management. What did that work involve?
Yeah, so I went on leave from my professor job twice, actually. So in 2021, I left to go work as the Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Office of Carbon Management within the Department of Energy. That was a really interesting change from my professor role. So I was running a sub-organization that has about 50 staff members, about $1 billion a year budget. And then the year that I joined actually was the same year that the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, also known as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, was passed. So we kind of suddenly went from being about $1 billion run rate to being at least semi-initially responsible for about $12 billion of funding without staffing increases, at least immediately. So kind of jumping from a situation where I was, struggling to teach online and working with students to do kind of individual projects to something where I was running an office that was responsible for these really, really significant infrastructure projects was really interesting, but also pretty challenging. I think one of the things that's quite different about working for the government versus working in academia is just what your goals are. So in that job, we were really focused on putting forth basically things for people to apply for to get that money, as opposed to applying for the money, which is more on the academic side. But it was interesting to watch how that worked. Then I spent a few months as a second term working as a senior advisor for energy asset transformations and basically looking at what happens when you start closing down power plants and things like that. So I'd asked to step back from the more intense role and go part-time so that I could still work with my students and things for the second round.
What an incredible opportunity. And that budget jump from, single to double-digit billions, that's a significant increase in output. So I'm glad that eventually the staffing caught up, but that was probably a little rough transition.
Yes.
Well, how would you describe the sustainability work that you're primarily doing these days?
Yeah, most of my work is on deep decarbonization and really trying to think about pathways to eliminate greenhouse gas emissions from our industrial systems. I work primarily on energy, and a lot of that really looks like trying to figure out which pathways to decarbonization are safe, are resilient, are actually able to keep up with the kinds of demands that we have, and are really focused around providing people with services. I think as a civil engineer, one of the things that I really admire and am glad about just in our field is that we really do try to put people first. So our code of ethics is very explicit about that. But as we think about decarbonization, it's not just technology interventions. It's also really trying to understand how we're providing energy services. So a lot of the work I do is on the power system, but also increasingly on buildings and how actually making buildings efficient can keep people safe during heat waves and things like that. A lot of the work that I do also uses life cycle assessment, which is something that is very much in the news, I guess, given the way that a couple of the federal funding announcements are using it. So I work mostly methodologically and try to think about how we do multi-criteria analyses that are conscious of people's values and preferences.
And our last set of questions are our rapid fire questions. Are you ready for one-offs?
As ready as I'm ever going to be.
Fantastic. All right. First one, what is your favorite word that relates to sustainability?
Justice.
So good. They go hand in hand so nicely. All right. Next question. Name the best swimming stroke.
Clearly backstroke.
I could not disagree with you more. Always my weakest stroke. All right. Well, that aside, what is the coolest decarbonization technology? And I'm not yet sure if there's a pun there. So, based on your answer.
I think there is. I'm going to go with building efficiency.
Excellent. A little pun there, maybe. And your last question, what is an interesting gift you have received?
A carnivorous plant, which has multiplied into many carnivorous plants now.
Apparently a slippery slope with the gift giving. What a fun hobby.
Yeah, it also exposes me to what kinds of bugs are in my neighborhood because the plants catch them.
Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us and talking about some of your very interesting and broad experience in engineering and sustainability. And thank you again for your ongoing involvement in the ASCE EWRI institution. It's wonderful to have people that are wanting to be involved and do more. And, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
If If you have any questions for Emily about her insights or her career, she's encouraging folks to reach out to her at egrubert@nd.edu. That's egrubert@nd.edu. And as mentioned up top, this is actually her second appearance on ASC Plot Points. If you'd like to hear her talk with some degree of frustration, I'm going to editorialize right there. I remember it being kind of a fiery episode. She was talking about what civil engineers need to be doing about climate change. So obviously a topic ripe with urgency and emotion. Look up Season 4, Episode 8. It came out in October 2020. ASC Plot Points is a production of the American Society of Civil Engineers. Subscribe, rate, review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast platform you prefer. Thanks so much to our guest today, Emily Grubert, and guest hosts Breanne Duncan and Wendy Cohen. Our music is by Coltrane Motion. Learn more at coltranemotion.com. And of course, you can keep up with everything going on at ASCE and throughout the entire civil engineering profession online at the Civil Engineering Source at source.asce.org. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.